Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh yeah, football, football.
From potholes to pop-ups, we got it covered.
Hey!
Here's Bob Fesco.
Take a bite out of my ass.
And Dusty Likens.
Big nuts.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Don't forget to join 96.5 The Fan on Friday, June 12th. C. Rob broadcasting live from the Peanut in the Northland. Starting at 2 o'clock, we'll be giving away coolers and prizes for those in attendance that hang out and watch USA play as they kick off at 8 o'clock at night. Our watch parties this summer presented by Truly, the official seltzer of U.S. soccer, and by Security Bank of Kansas City, boldly local since 1933. OTAs, Mac, you were out there yesterday. A lot of people out there, but you always have your handy-dandy notebook. Shout out Blue's Clues.
Big shout out to Blue's Clues.
Where you're mesmerized is the size and the torque of Ken Walker III.
Yeah, I mean, what a unit. Mm-hmm. What a monster. I am loving what I'm seeing, not only from him, but loving what I'm hearing about.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
About him, because we all saw him in the Super Bowl. We all saw that 6-week stretch that he had. We saw what he could do on the field, but now we're finding out what kind of person this guy is. And I mean, he and Eric Bieniemy are two peas in a pod. They are football first. They are intense.
Do they just yell at each other the whole time?
I think so. Well, I think Ken might be there might be a good yin and yang, because what I'm getting from what I'm hearing about him and the one time we got to talk to him, it seems like he's the same but the opposite of Bieniemy. Like the other side, instead of screaming, it's more like silence and very like somber and serious.
Nobody wants to say the wrong thing.
Yeah, exactly right. So, love getting to see Ken and Patrick Mahomes out there. Not Rashee Rice.
No, he's disposed now.
He's still in
at least
jail.
When you're out there, you're not.
Crank the hog, man. Crank it up.
he is predisposed. How much longer is he in jail?
14 days.
But did he that's it already?
Yesterday was halfway. So
no, really? Oh, yes. Good for him. Is he good behavior?
He is officially now in an isolation, and he is now allowed rehab, I believe, for the last 2 weeks.
That's good.
Also, a month from today is the 4th of July.
Yeah. So it's crazy.
15 days goes fast.
It does. I mean, it does. I mean, really, it does. I mean, he's been in jail too. I'm sure for him it's not going fast, but I mean, for us it is.
Yeah, I want to talk about, we talked about some offense stuff. Obviously, Mahomes, first off, looks great. You know, looks incredible. We've talked about that. Bob, you said it since day one. He'll play week one. He'll play preseason week one, maybe. I mean, he looks so ahead of schedule. And I know Andy Reid would say, who wrote the schedule? I don't know everyone else, but he's ahead of whatever fictional schedule there is out
and
there.
And that's what Andy Reid was on with Colin, I think, yesterday. And Colin asked him something about that. Maybe he said it in his press conference as well. But he told Colin, he goes, who's coming up with this? Yeah. Who's coming up with how long somebody has to be out?
Dr. Chow.
Right. But that's where I've been for the last couple of years on this, is like, we're putting people in a box. Medical things have changed, right? Mm-hmm. We heal faster. The human body is more in shape than it's ever been before for professional athletes. And so what used to be a year, you know, injury may only be 9 to 10 months now. And so we have to get out of that backwards way of thinking and putting everybody who has an ACL injury into the same category, or an Achilles injury or a shoulder injury. As Dusty mentioned earlier, Tommy John, like, we just want to put everybody into that same box. Well, some people heal a lot. It takes longer for some people to get better, as we're seeing with Michael Parsons right now out there in Green Bay, or even Omar Norman Lott. There was a comment yesterday by Steve Spagnuolo. Says, we got to get him healthy.
Yeah, I got to get him healthy. I did not like that.
I didn't like that either.
You could also bring up Tyrese Halliburton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones is ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Quotes.
What about your guy for the Celtics this past year?
Tatum. Yep. show. Yeah, proved a lot. That right? He was ahead of schedule. Absolutely.
And even, you know, and I go back to 2 years when Aaron Rodgers was sitting there saying, I may be back by the end of the year. And we all laughed, right? And everybody said, ha, 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 there's no way you're going to be back. There's no way. An Achilles, it takes a year. Maybe Aaron Rodgers was kind of letting us in on something like the game has changed, you know, when it comes to these injuries. And so having that mindset that he's going to be out for a year and not play in week one just because that's the way it's been before, that's a slap in the face to Patrick Mahomes, too, for how much he's working to rehab this knee.
And then you got to see Bob's crush, Emmett Thomas.
Emmett Johnson was there. He looked great, running wide receiver routes, catching passes. I've not heard nothing but great things about him so far, so that's good. It feels like he could be that RB2 starting week one. We'll see. We know how they are with rookies. We haven't asked a lot about DeMarcado, but obviously that will be a battle back there. But, you know, similar to Andy Reid talking about who makes the schedule, Spagnuolo said, what's the Spags mold? Because someone asked a question about the defensive backs and Spags mold. He's like, what is a Spags mold guy? I don't know what that is. He's like, I just like good football players kind of thing. So he was talking about balancing how much to add and how much to take away from this defense, because the youth on this defense is real. And he has thought a lot about that. And it looks like they are going to dumb this down a little bit and get more back to fundamentals, more back to basics, because that's secondary. And we know how much he likes to move those guys around. This guy splits and now this guy's back and in different packages and all those things. I think we'll see a little bit less for the first 4 to 8 weeks on that. And then we'll see him get more exotic as the season goes.
I've said with Spags over the years, the first 2 weeks are going to be brutal this year, I think, from a defensive standpoint. So don't lose your mind. I'm cautioning you right now. The first 8 quarters, don't pay attention to from a defensive standpoint, because you probably won't like it. It happened here, okay, when he came here. It happened when he went to the Giants. It happens when he takes over a new program. And this, Mac, I guess you're out there. You see all these new guys. Like, I don't know any of these faces. It's kind of a new program on defense this year.
It is. It is. And it's got a lot of new players, obviously. Peter Woods, 305 to 310 is where he's at right now. He likes that weight. But R. Mason Thomas.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff about your guy, R. Mason Thomas, Dustman, yesterday. Okay. Went to Oklahoma, obviously. We know DeMarco Murray, Oklahoma. He was a big part of that before the draft process. And when you're talking about guys, his name was brought up. And DeMarco Murray mentioned that he was a perfect culture fit for here and didn't really have to sell him. They already liked him. But once they heard DeMarco Murray's endorsement, who had been with him for 4 years, by the way, 4 years he had been around R. Mason Thomas. And he said, no, this guy, I've been in this building just for a month. I know R. Mason Thomas is going to fit in perfectly here. And so far early on, he really, really has. Spag mentioned the amount of juice that he has, the work. I love that.
Yeah, same.
And,
you know, it's interesting that the running back coach is vouching for this guy. Okay.
Yes.
So just kind of a little bit behind the scenes, you're the running back. You're not talking to the defensive players. You don't know anything about them. You probably don't even know their names. That's just the way it works, right? You're focused on what you're doing. And because I've heard these stories before, they always tell you when somebody on the other side of the ball is complimenting a player like the way that DeMarco Murray was with R. Mason Thomas, that should make you listen a little bit more. Yes. Because DeMarco Murray had nothing to do with R. Mason Thomas. He was just part of the team, completely different position, different side of the football. The fact that he's vouching for the character of that guy when he barely knew him because he was on the other side of the ball, that says a lot.
Yes, yes. Going against him in practices, he knows the kind of guy he is, the kind of worker he is. Mm-hmm. And then Joe Colan, obviously defensive line coach, talked about R. Mason Thomas as well. Cliff Averill and Frank Clark were two names that he brought up as far as comps to his playing style. And which we brought up Frank Clark before, obviously size, big difference. Frank's bigger, but that ability to be full speed and be at like a 45 degree angle, be bending like that around a corner.
Yeah.
He says R. Mason Thomas has that in droves. Now,
can he get parallel to the ground on his side? You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, yeah. Like we saw this.
Contort the body, you know.
It looks like we're going to see a lot of that. I'm excited about that. He did mention he's raw. So all those exciting things that we love and the bend and the comparisons to Clark the Shark. Also, he mentioned a lot to learn. So just take that with a grain of salt. Lastly, a little note on George Karlaftis that kind of was a big note. Broke his hand last year, had surgery in the bye week, and that hand that was broken was on his power hand, that pushing
changes
power
a lot,
hand.
Then, so doesn't it?
Does change my perspective a little bit on last season with George Karlaftis for sure.
Boys, I've got some news from Twitter. Report. Free agent cornerback Legarius Sneed is visiting with the Kansas City Chiefs today.
Let's go.
Why not?
Hell yes.
What do you got to lose?
That's nothing.
Veteran minimum?
Exactly right. It's perfect Chiefs signing.
It's a perfect, yeah, exactly. It's a no-brainer.
Yep.
You can still come home. We'll get back to it on 96.5 The Fan here after this break. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
That's like horseradish.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. You're home for Kansas City Sports. 96.5 The Fan.
That has got some excitement of L'Jarius Sneed back in Kansas City.
Damn.
Visiting the Chiefs.
Really?
Speck.
Yes.
Hand in his head. I mean. Alex Gold shaking his head. Cody Tapp. Yeah, we're going to let the rookies play. Let's go get L'Jarius Sneed. Drew Nixon.
Okay.
Well, at least he's not in Cincinnati.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, when was the last time L'Jarius Sneed was good?
The year he left
here, right?
Yeah, the year he left here. Tennessee.
But it all adds into whether or not he's still a good player, right?
I also know that last year he didn't play not because he was hurt, but because that relationship in Tennessee was completely severed. That was done on both sides, and they were not going to play him for lots of reasons not having to do with football.
Sure.
So I would add that, and I know that from... You know,
absolutely. You don't have to explain how you know that, but you work down there. Yeah. You take what you say. You know people. Yes. Boom. You move on. Yeah.
So I was going to say. So that's that. I would say, for just to caution people, like, oh, these last years. Well, last year I would write off a little bit. I would write off a little bit. I'm not going to say he's going to be.
How old is he now?
Good question.
He's got to be pushing 30,
right?
I mean, as a guy that can come in here and be a body for you in camp and challenge some, fine.
Look.
They signed L'Jarius Sneed, and immediately we think, oh, that means he's going to come in here and start and be a player, and we're screwed. Like, that's how our minds work, right? He could be a camp body. He could be a depth guy. He's a guy that's been around the system before and knows what Steve Spagnuolo, like, does and how he calls his defenses. And when you have a secondary that's never played with Steve Spagnuolo for the most part before, a lot of young guys on the defensive line,
yeah.
Hey, if you can have a couple of extra guys on your roster that know what they're supposed to do,
100%.
I'm fine with it from that standpoint. I just don't want people to have these expectations. Oh, here comes L'Jarius Sneed. He's going to throat punch Tyreek Hill.
Oh, gosh, no.
Dead.
None of that's happening.
Like, that's not happening anymore. But
yeah.
to have a voice, a brain in the locker room that knows what Steve Spagnuolo is saying, because Steve Spagnuolo could get up there and do all this stuff, and some of the cornerbacks or whoever can look around and go, I'm not quite grasping this. And then you can have L'Jarius Sneed be like, no, I've been in this before. I know exactly what we need to do. So kind of an extension from that, like, it's fine. I don't think you should be A, excited, or B, disappointed by it. He's a Jag right now. He's just a guy coming in, you know?
From the 6-2-0, L'Jarius Sneed's in the building. Is he in a wheelchair on crutches?
I get not jumping for joy, but the shaking your head and hands.
I mean, it's a guy.
They
were
going to
sign a defensive back anyway.
Do me a favor and go out there for 2 seconds. Go, is nobody excited about L'Jarius Sneed be back in the building? And it'll be crickets.
Yeah. Not like excitement? No.
But like, you're going to be negative about it? There's literally...
Well, there's no reason to be negative.
There's zero risk to this.
Right.
There's only possible reward. He will be extremely cheap. He knows the system. And they've got half the answer. They're so close out there, it seems, in the bullpen. I wasn't out there. But from what you said, yes, it's a bunch of young guys. Bring the guy who knew the system better than anyone next to Trent McDuffie and played at the best level. Yes, absolutely.
I don't have a problem bringing in an old timer that knows what's going on.
Yes.
Again, sometimes it's easier to communicate with the guys in the trenches than it is with the bosses. It happens a lot. It's like, well, you don't talk to Spector ever.
I love this from the 417. If we sign Sneed, does that count as the Chiefs corner getting a second contract? That's awesome.
No, it'd be his third.
Take the day. You're right. Yeah, it would be.
Hey, we finally found a way to get a guy a second contract. Send him away for a few years. Get a lot of draft picks for him and sign him for the league minimum when he's past his prime. Hey, Carrington, I'll tell you, that guy's washed. We can get him for nothing.
Yeah.
In case you missed it, free agent cornerback L'Jarius Sneed is visiting today with the Kansas City Chiefs. Sneed played for the Chiefs before they traded him to the Titans. That comes from Adam Schefter.
Oh, did Schefter let us know that? Thank God Adam let us know.
He played for
that.
The Chiefs before the Titans.
That's right.
Did you know that Juju Smith-Schuster left to go to New England and then came back to Kansas
That's
City?
Right.
Because he had also played for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, my favorite one was he signed with the Giants, who Matt Nagy now knows him from Kansas City.
Oh.
There's always a connection in something like that.
Always.
Gosh.
Tony Gonzalez played basketball at Cal.
Yeah, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard.
He did?
Yeah, and Christian Moody was a volleyball player.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very good one.
That. Yeah.
I think that was him, right?
Christian Moody. Imagined birds living in Ryan Fitzpatrick's beard.
Yeah, you watch too much Family Guy.
I know I do. But that is, like, every time I see Ryan Fitzpatrick's beard, find me another beard who could house birds better than what Ryan Fitzpatrick has on his face. Eric Bieniemy is up there. That Eric Bieniemy beard that he had, I don't know if he's sporting beard now.
He is.
But that one that he had a couple of years ago, that was a good nesting beard for birds.
Harden?
Harden's a good nesting beard.
Lovey Smith?
Lovey's a good nesting beard. Yeah.
ZZ Top?
That's a good one, too. Yeah.
I think it might just be Z Top now.
I think we lose one of the Zs.
We lost one of them, not the two front ones.
Ozzy's or just one of the Zs?
We lost Ozzy, too.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. No, but the Z since, what was that guy who played for the Texans? Aziz
Ansari.
Yeah, he's still there.
Yeah, so I just always thought Ryan Fitzpatrick had the best nesting beard for birds.
Mm. Chest hair, too.
Great chest hair.
He was doing those like post games, like shirtless at times. Jason Kelce, if he let it grow, could have one. He's got that thick.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That thick beard, yeah.
Scraggly.
Somehow a clip from New Heights from like 2 years ago popped up, and it was Travis trying to name every coach in the coach's picture. Oh, my God. I don't know who this guy is. Never heard of that one. Who the hell is this?
Never heard of it.
It was so good. Travis is like, I got no idea who that guy is. And Jason goes, that guy coached for Cincinnati. And Travis is like, is it Taylor or something? It's wonderful. I retweeted it if you want to watch it just to have a good laugh in the middle of the day. Travis proving what we all know, irrelevant, nameless, faceless coaches for the most part. That's why when you have a good one like Andy Reid, it really does make a difference, Mac. And you see that now at OTAs, seeing Chad O'Shea and what difference that makes when you have the right leaders and coaches in place. It absolutely 1,000,000% helps your entire organization.
Stuff that we're trying to bring to the summer story sessions is stuff like this that you hear from John Kruk. Baseball's greatest moments, you know, they always have a bunch of stuff that's either low-hanging fruit or whatever, but John Kruk, after being caught smoking a cigarette after a game, quote, that's horrible to see a professional athlete like you smoking. He said back, I'm not an athlete, lady. I'm a baseball player.
Oh, yeah. Nice. John Kruk would be a good one for Sunday or, you know, stories from summer sessions.
Summer stories.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Chris Farley do John Kruk on Saturday Night Live? It is one of the greatest clones you will ever see because he goes on Weekend Update and no one has a chance to keep a straight
face. No, it's so good. Yeah.
It's dead on John Kruk and Chris Farley pulls it off. It's crazy.
It really is. It's one of the better ones. He's fantastic. But Kruk's the announcer for the Phillies, so it should be pretty easy to just go through the Phillies and see. We can get John Kruk on just to just tell him. We just want to talk about like stories that he has. We don't care about your team.
This is crazy. I didn't know this. From the 417, Cliff Clavin notes, my favorite thing about ZZ Top is that the two lead singers have the beard and the drummer who was clean shaven was named Frank Beard.
That's awesome. I love stuff like that.
And then from the 816, you guys should have Rashee Rice on the show to tell us his summer story this year.
Take the summer. You don't have to come back till after Labor Day after that text. Joining us now for our summer session stories, Rashee Rice. What'd you do this summer?
You have a collect call coming from Rashee Rice. Would you like to accept?
Collect calls in the jailhouse will always remind me of the Ricky Clemens tapes and driving down to Columbia that year, that day, and picking up a stack of CDs, probably about a foot high of all the jailhouse tapes. And they're like, here, you guys can go through all of these. We're like, just give us the highlights, man.
Our guy Price Carter said the Chiefs can save $5 million against the cap by cutting Christian Fulton.
Done.
And L'Jarius Sneed fills that spot on what, a vet discount? I don't know. I don't really know much about Christian Fulton. I know that a lot of people aren't happy with his gameplay from time
to time. Did we see enough to even know about Christian Fulton last year?
He was hurt.
Yeah.
And then when he was healthy, he didn't play. And you could come up with different reasons for as to why that is. But if you're not a Sneed guy and you're a Fulton guy, I question your reasoning. I question your logic.
My question, glad you said that. My thing is like, whose spot is he going to take that you brought in as a young youth? Because we were told that, you know, this is the way now. Like, this is the way these guys are. We're going to play these young kids. Like, we're going to play these guys.
Well, I don't think L'Jarius Sneed is going to take away any playing time from anybody.
Well, why would you bring him in?
Just to have a backup guy?
Yeah,
a veteran guy on the roster? No, he's not going to get any playing time.
We need bodies. You know, we don't have enough depth. So we need people, third, fourth, fifth guys to come in. I also saw a text. I can't remember what number, but you know who you are. potential safety role. I mean, we know we're thin at that position as well. And this is a guy who played safety in college and, again, knows this defense, could step in as a veteran and maybe play a little safety. He could just be a Swiss Army knife for you, I think is what that is. So
I mean, it's, you don't have to bring in guys to be starters. Just because some guy shows up doesn't mean he's going to get playing time. I mean, there are 53 dudes on the roster, and you got to find a way to, you know, maximize everybody's talents. And just because you're on the roster doesn't mean you're a starter, you're a name, and they're bringing you in, you know, doesn't mean you're going to get playing. Doesn't even mean you're going to make the team. I mean, there's no guarantees that Legere, just because you know his name, doesn't mean he's going to make the team. He's still got to go out there and play and see if he's got anything in the tank. This is the time of year you take flyers on everybody.
I do like it from the concept of the theory that I love, which is in-house competition works. Wait, they're bringing in Legere. They drafted me. They brought me over. Why is this guy? Could get your ass in shape. You know what I mean? So like, plus what are you losing? Right.
That's
like,
my thing.
You know, I'm not thrilled. I'm not like over the moon, DeAndre Hopkins, Mac Morey, but
no,
like,
that's fine.
And you shouldn't be. It's a guy. If he never played here, we wouldn't even be talking about this guy.
Yeah.
If this was the guy that signed with, let's say the Rams, I don't know why I bring them up. Nobody would even be talking about it. Yeah, right. No, we're not talking about this. Or if we had a Legarius Sneed that played for the Rams for 5 years and we signed him, some nondescript guy. He's a nondescript guy that's just going to come in. I think we spent too much time talking about Legarius Sneed. We probably spent more time talking about Legarius Sneed than the role he should have on this team this year.
Well, we can talk about Jayhawk for Life's tweet at me. June 4th, 1984, Bruce Springsteen released his 7th studio album, Born in the USA. Produced a record-tying 7 straight top 10 singles.
Man, his concert last week in D.C. must have hit, man. Yeah. Do you read about concerts when they're over?
Yeah, this concert's a little different. It's not like what you would think a Bruce Springsteen concert would be. It's more so like he's doing like a protest type of concert.
Oh,
like it's a political thing.
Okay.
And I don't get involved in politics. Yeah. So I just kind of stay away from it. And like I've said this is the comp that I'll give it to. I want to see John Mayer live. But the last time he was in Kansas City, he was just doing an acoustic show. I want to see it all. I want to see from electric to acoustic to everything. I don't want to go see Bruce talk about politics. I want to see Bruce just sing from all the albums of all the years, but that's what he's doing right now. So, like, you do what you want to do. Do you, boo. But, like, that's not – I'm glad people are enjoying it, but that's not what I would go see the show for.
You don't want to do that.
Because he's just singing all the songs that are politically driven. So there's some that are bangers, but it's like – there's a message, and then there's a song, and then there's a message, and there's a song, and it's like, come on, Bruce, like get back to, you know, that's why when he was in Kansas City, like my dad and I went, I don't need to see him again. I saw him.
You did. You're done.
And I don't know how good he is these days, as older he's getting. I don't want it's like seeing your grandfather with dementia. You don't want
to
like,
you go
those.
To see Guns N' Roses. I'm like, I've seen what I want to see.
Yeah. You don't need to go see David Lee Roth. All you're going to see is a snake in leather pants. No voice. But what we did see last night was a snake come out of the fourth quarter and bite the Spurs in the ass. And that snake was Jalen Brunson. What a killer, dude. Are we going to keep seeing this? Like, cause you got to look at it from two different sides of the court, right? How are the Spurs going to get past that and get other opportunities? Cause they were just trying to hit angles last night. And every time they threw one in there, there was a Knicks player tipping it up. So they've done their homework there. And then also like, How are the Spurs going to stop Mr. Brunson in the fourth quarter? Because as of this point in the playoffs, ain't nobody come close yet.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. Do they have an answer for him? I think based on game one, and you can, you know, roll your eyes at me, putting Cat on Wemby was a great answer. I mean, they really did a great job defending him late. I thought Karl Anthony Towns was brilliant last night. He's the reason they won that game. He was great from start to finish in that game for the Knicks last night. It's awesome to see him grow into this role, and it really gives me a lot more hope than I even had before with the Chad O'Shea hire, because Karl Anthony Towns was being written off last year at this time in New York. People were criticizing him. They were calling him weak. They were questioning his desire. And now they're winning games in the playoffs, and they won last night's game because Karl Anthony Towns is now playing great basketball. And you know what? The only change that they made in New York was unlocking him with Mike Brown. And I am going to give Mike Brown all the credit in the world, because I look at that as a major change. A player went from being a guy that was getting destroyed to being a guy that's dominating now and is the reason why you have a 1-0 lead, or one of the biggest reasons why, anyway, you have a 1-0 lead going into game two of the NBA Finals. And so I look at that move by changing head coaches and what that did, how that could impact athletes here in Kansas City. And I'm talking about the wide receivers. You got rid of a coach that wasn't capable of coaching at the highest levels, and you're bringing in a coach that is and has coached at the highest levels, just like Mike Brown has done. And I can't now wait to see what guys like Rice and Worthy are going to do with a legit wide receiver coach, just like we've seen what Carl Anthony Towns has done this year, just by changing the head coach and making sure that he was in position to be utilized in the best way possible. That's what a good coach does.
Yeah, I want to. I'm excited to see. I'll point this loss at Mitch Johnson if we're going to have to blame one person.
A lot of people are saying he got schooled by Mike Brown.
He did get
yesterday,
schooled last
bro.
Night, and schooling himself too. Kind of galaxy braining. Carter Bryant, rookie, one of the 20-year-olds on the team in the NBA that kind of does look like a 20-year-old. Like not like these other guys like Castle and Harper who are just ahead of their time. This is a rookie who's playing in the NBA Finals, and he looks like a baby. He looks like he is seeing way too much. He played 4 minutes last night. All of them were in the fourth quarter, and he was guarding Jalen Brunson the whole time, and that is when that run began. He took Bryant. He did whatever he wanted. He got to exactly the spot that he wanted to against Carter Bryant. He played Harrison Barnes for 12 minutes. He took two shots. He missed both of them. I don't need to see as much De'Aaron Fox. 38 minutes from a guy who missed game six of last series, most of game six of last series, because he couldn't play because of his hamstring. I think Dylan Harper should start. I think we should see no Carter Bryant. I think he's got to shorten his rotation. Wembanyama will figure out the cat thing. That was the preparation. Like I said yesterday, that
2-12 while Carl Anthony Towns.
Unbelievable.
Towns was guarding him. Yeah, 2-12.
Unbelievable. And Cat will still do well, but I think, like I said, they had the advantage last night. Like I said yesterday,
this is like a real geek conversation. That's a lot of fun because I'm just picturing these coaches looking at that game one and going, "All right, Wemby, here's how you figure out Cat. All right, Cat, this is what they're going to do. Here's what you're going to do in game two.
Yes, the chess match.
Like this is fun to kind of watch how each team is going to counteract. And again, as you said earlier, no disrespect to me at all. If Bob's excited about the NBA, everybody should be.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of exciting. The most points in the playoffs since 2020-2021 season. Jokic, 1,919.
In the playoffs?
Mm-hmm. Jason Tatum leads with 2,151. You know who's second?
Brunson?
2,107. He is 45 points away for passing Jason Tatum as the most points in the playoffs since 2020 and 2021.
Does he get it? Because I got the Knicks in three.
I mean, he can get 23
games. He will.
What if he breaks that record or ties Tatum after game two? Are the Spurs winning a game? If he drops 40 on Friday night.
If they go up 2-0 and they take that to the Garden, I'm worried.
But 2-0, you hate
that.
I'd
be worried. Yeah,
worst league in sports.
But then my other thing would be like, all right, Wemby, let's go. This is it. This is the time, baby. Give us one.
What if he doesn't, though?
And people will freak out. Like I said, it'll happen. We'll have a referendum on his career, and we'll be ridiculous, and he'll come back even stronger, and he'll make it his whole personality.
And what do you always say? Sometimes you got to get knocked down to come back even stronger.
Yeah, you do. But I'm just worried about what people are going to say about Wemby, because I do. I think he's the next Patrick Mahomes in sports, and I feel like if they don't win this series, people are going to just dog on this guy.
They're going to destroy him, yes.
And realizing he's only 22 years old. Like, we're asking him to do things that have never really been done before, right?
Exactly. Yeah, no, especially in this century. He's got to figure out some go-to moves on offense. Last night in the fourth quarter, he was just trying to run around, do everything, hitting the backboard, trying to get his own rebound. Just felt like...
It looked a little discombobulated, not going to lie.
Yeah, slow down. Take a breath.
Hard to do that, though.
Gosh, I couldn't do it.
Right. I mean, think about all that adrenaline that you have. I mean, have you ever been in that spot where you got so much adrenaline? It's just like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Yeah. Sex.
Yeah. Well, but not in the middle of a game.
Oh,
yeah.
Smash.
You know, so it's interesting to see how he's going to kind of handle that. And like, I think game two will be a lot calmer too.
I don't know. I needed a cigarette after like 5 minutes of watching that game last night. I was like,
that was one of those games where like everybody was nobody was doing anything they should have been doing
pure
in the first
adrenaline.
5 minutes. That's exactly what I guarantee. If you talk to all 10 of those guys, I would say half of them were probably blacked out for the first. Athletes say that all the time. I have no idea, man. I was blacked out for the first couple of minutes of that game with everything that was going on. And then all of a sudden the game starts to go and you get into that flow.
Right.
And then we saw, you know, the way that it all played out. And the fourth quarter was fantastic.
Well,
for
that's
everybody.
What to kind of go back to the Royals for a second. Huddler was telling that story when they were playing Texas, and Caglione, obviously last year, his first career home run in Texas. It was in his eyes and it went over, and he said, "What do you remember about that?" And he goes, "I don't know. I thought it was a pop-up, and I blacked out until I got to third base and saw Vance Wilson." I was like, "Oh yeah, that's a whole," like, even that, the guy who's hit 300 home runs his whole entire life, hits his first home run in the big leagues, and has no idea where he is.
Yeah, you black out because you're like, whoa, it's crazy. Can't believe this happened. Yeah, I remember I was at Disney World when I was a kid, and we had got the opportunity to be part of the skit or whatever
sure.
they were doing, right? And I was a baseball player for the Mets that just hit a game-winning home run. And my line was, I just closed my eyes and swung. And so I always kind of go back to that. Like, that's what happens at times. Like, athletes just get into such a mode, into such a, like, that Zen mode that they're in now, that tunnel vision, and they can't see anything, and they're just so focused. And then they miss everything because they're like, yeah, I was blacked out during that. I didn't see any of that.
Tweet of the day yesterday goes to the Pittsburgh Pirates final. Unfortunately, we did not win this game. Coming up on the other side, we will wrap this show up on the, we'll just wrap the show up here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Holy cow. Are you ready for this?
Nope.
The Knicks playoff push is expected to generate at least $145 million in revenue.
Jeez. Wow.
Merchandise, concessions, and sponsorships, just because of their run in the playoffs, have generated that franchise $145 million.
Hello, America.
I mean, tell me the America. Knicks don't matter.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this. I really want to.
Oh, my God.
Good for them. News of the day, if you missed it, LeJarius Sneed visiting the Kansas City Chiefs facility today, as I assume he doesn't leave without being a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's just my assumption. I don't know anything. I don't have any sources or anything like that, but I'm just saying I think that's where I'm at. Somebody brings up the blackout moments in sports, and it's perfect because it's like what they said when Mecole Hardman caught that Super Bowl-winning catch.
He was blacked out, yeah.
Yes.
Like he threw the ball or something like that, and Mahomes had to go get it. Be like, dude, you want to hold on to that, man. Like, trust me.
Like, yeah, because he's even said Mecole is like, yeah, when I came too, you know.
Is
like,
he on the team anymore?
He'd be a good summertime story.
That would be a good summertime story.
Is he playing with anybody anymore? I know he was with Green Bay a little bit last year.
I don't think he is with them. I'd imagine he's on a team.
I don't know. San Francisco?
Mecole.
Oh, yeah, he's Buffalo Bills.
Oh, okay, that's right. He did go to Buffalo. Yeah.
Yeah, because they had him as a punt return guy.
Yeah, we'll see if he makes the team there.
Well, if he doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
We can have our fall stories. The four falls of Buffalo.
Yeah.
It's been 84 years, and I can still smell the fresh paint.
The Knicks are now the favorite for the first time, by
the
way.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. I said their odds shifted. The Spurs are now plus 125. The Knicks, at least what I saw, were minus 140.
I got the Knicks at minus 125, San Antonio plus 105.
Okay.
Exact series results, Knicks to win it in 6, 3-1 is your favorite.
Yeah, because we said if you wanted to throw some cheese on National Cheese Day on Cat being the MVP, it was like plus 1,100.
Plus 1,100 or something,
Now, Brunson, obviously the favorite because I think of what he did in the fourth quarter. Now, if he continues to do that, it's a wash. You're not going to get anybody else going to get it.
But this is the first time the Knicks have been the favorite the entire postseason, you know, to win this thing. So it's not that matters. That's, I'm sure, where people are all putting their money now. Everybody's rolling over. They heard me say Knicks in 3, so they're all about that. Sure. But the Knicks to sweep 7-1. San Antonio to win this thing now 4-1. 4-1 is now 9-1. So that's the big long shot right now. So the exact series result, Knicks in 6, 3-1. San Antonio in 7, plus 325. Knicks in 5 is plus 550.
Okay. What's Spurs in 6?
Spurs in 6 would be plus 650.
Okay. I take that. That's the safe one for me. If you want to go on a safe stretch, that's where I'm.
Did you take Spurs in 6 to begin this thing?
He did.
I did. And yesterday, I was on the phone with my brother. We didn't end up watching the game together, but I was like, dude, I don't know why. I have a gut feeling Knicks win tonight for part of the reasons I've told you guys on the air, their preparation, their advantage in game 1.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I still think 6. Game 1 to them, game 2 and 3 to Spurs, game 4 Knicks, game 5, 6 Spurs.
What did you get on the odds when you bet the Spurs in 6 before the game last night?
Oh, I didn't bet it. I wish I would have. No.
Okay. Gosh, I was going to say, now do you bet it again with the number
double
changing?
Down, yeah,
double down. Yeah.
Absolutely would.
Yeah, because you said the same thing about you thought the Thunder were going to.
Dude, I've been. I,
BBL
I've been pounded lately.
Bad this NBA playoffs. My gut's been wrong. Last night, my gut was correct. So we'll see what happens.
But see, for me, I present it from a different perspective than you guys do. You know, you've got the sports side of things, and I'm looking at it from a human side of things more than anything, and a destiny side of things. And I do believe in stuff like that. Like sometimes, most times really, the best team doesn't always win, right? It's the team that plays the best at those moments, that's able to handle the big time moment, that's able to not let the game get bigger than them. You hear about it all the time.
The best team a lot of the time.
Some of the time it is, some of the time it's not, you know, some of the time it's the more veteran team, right? It's the better coach team, or, you know, go back to that 99 Super, not 99, but whenever it was when the Rams beat the Patriots, 2001. You know, the Patriots were not the better team that day. Now, they clearly had the better coach. Now that we've learned after all these years, it was Mike Martz versus Bill Belichick.
Patriots beat the Rams.
That's what I said. What did I say?
The Rams beat the Patriots. Patriots.
I was like, Patriots beat the Rams. The Patriots were not the better team, but they were the better coach team, obviously. They cheated better than the Rams did in that Super Bowl, obviously. But they weren't the best team, but they just believed that they were going to win. Like, it's very reminiscent of the Giants in 2007 as well, when they beat that New England Patriots team. Remember that in the Super Bowl, the Pats were 17-0. The Giants went on the road that year and won in Tampa. Then they won in Dallas, who was the one seed. Then they went on the road and beat Green Bay in the NFC Championship game, and then went and beat the New England Patriots that were 17-0. And so it's got a little bit of a feel like that. There are some times that there are teams, guys, that are just on a roll and they're a team of destiny and there's nothing you can do to kind of get in their way, you know? And I just feel like that's where the Knicks are on paper. Yeah, the San Antonio Spurs are a better team, but the games aren't played on paper. That's why I hate analytics, because you got to go out there and deal with human beings and mindset and drive. And what Jalen Brunson did in the fourth quarter last night, there's no thing, nothing, a computer, a nerd, or anybody can put out that's going to tell me that Jalen Brunson's going to do what he did in that fourth quarter last night. That's guts and heart, and there's no numbers for that.
If we got one thing right today, it was our summer story sessions. Somebody said, not normally a morning person, change jobs, but the humor and the stories today get me through my morning. Great show.
Thank you.
We also get my son and I are on our way to Indiana. See some friends. Can you shout out Eli Starr?
There you
go,
Eli.
Can hear his name on the radio. So there you go, Eli.
Eli Starr. Go be a star in Indiana, my man. Go do it.
Somebody from the 314. I black out every time I see Libby Dunn strutting around.
I do too. I feel you.
Hello, America.
I get it. So does he.
When does Baywatch come out?
Oh, is she in it? Did she get the part?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because I thought she was competing with somebody else for the part. I forget who it was. I'm like, oh.
Her social media would say she's in it. Top 10 athletes in Los Angeles. This is stupid.
This is dumb.
Shohei Ohtani, Luka, Miles Garrett, Matthew Stafford, LeBron James. That's just the top five.
That's just five.
The second tier, Freddie Freeman, Puka Nacua, Yamamoto, Justin Herbert, Kelsey Plum. Who'd be the five in Kansas City?
That's crazy.
I mean, it's Bobby, Patrick, Salvi, and Bobby, Patrick, Travis, and who was the fourth? I put Chris Jones on my list. I don't know who I would put for number five.
I put Salvi just because, like, baseball-wise, he's known.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's a, you know.
But is he a top athlete right now?
I went with, like, just personalities and stuff.
Yeah, that's however you want to interpret it.
Because LA is just stupid.
I mean, like, come on.
This is not even real. Like, that's not a real list. Yeah,
you know who's going to be on that LA list next year? Brunson.
No.
Wemby.
I did it by athlete. Like actual athleticism. So
that's kind of what I did.
You know? Cags.
I did Pat, Bobby, Chawinga from Current, Chris Jones, and then Cags.
Yeah. Cags a unit.
Cags is a unit, and he showed us his athleticism. He went out and learned right field. He can play first base. Hell, let him get on the mound, dude. He's versatile. 6'5", unit.
250, size 17 foot.
Whew.
I know that I'm hard.
You better believe it. Yeah, I'm a crotch grab.
How many championships does those people in L.A. have, though? The Dodgers have two, right?
Yep.
Since with Ohtani? Or one with Ohtani?
One with Ohtani?
Because they got the bubble championship.
They have two.
And they've won back-to-back,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they have two with Ohtani. LeBron has four.
How many with the Lakers? Just the
one,
bubble?
Yeah. Right.
The Rams have just the one, right?
Yamamoto has one. Freeman's got...
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck and Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two with LA.
Yeah.
And Miles Garrett's been a Brown.
Yeah, right.
And Luka and Austin Reed.
And Justin Herbert's been a Charger.
And I have no idea if this, I don't think the Sparks have won, but I don't know.
I don't know.
It's like eight championships.
I think I would take Kelsey Plum to the Green Lady Lounge.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good.
Hello, America.
Speaking of the WNBA, why does everybody hate Caitlin Clark now? My God.
Well, she's getting mad at her coach, and there's video of it.
Is she in the wrong?
She's got some tood.
Oh, does she? Is she being nasty to her coach?
I don't know.
There's been some clips from her this season.
Yeah. I don't follow enough to have a true opinion on it, but that's
either. That's why I'm asking.
That's what I saw, and that's the take that I saw on the show that I watched, and that was like, she needs to understand that, like, because her numbers are still there. Like, she's still got numbers.
Yep.
But, like, now it's kind of like, all right, rest, take it easy. But, hey, you all can go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe, stay groovy. Coming up next, it's Cody, Golden, Drew. They're talking all things Royals and NBA. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Friday. Take care.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.